never to peach on a fellow. Then, at the door of the castle, the rector had shaken hands with his father and mother, his soutane fluttering in the breeze, and the car had driven off with his mother and father on it. They had cried to him from the car, waving their hands, "Goodbye, Stephen! Goodbye! Goodbye, Stephen! Goodbye!" He was caught in the whirl of a scrimmage, and, fearful of the flashing eyes and muddy boots, bent down to look through the legs. The fellows were struggling and groaning, and their legs were rubbing and kicking and stamping. Then Jack Lawton's yellow boots dodged out the ball, and all the other boots and legs ran after. He ran after them a little way, and then stopped. It was useless to run on. Soon they would be going home for the holidays. After supper in the study hall, he would change the number pasted up inside his desk from 77 to 76. It would be better to be in his study hall than out there in the cold. The sky was pale and cold, but there were lights in the castle. He wondered from which window Hamilton Rowan had thrown his hat on the ha-ha, and had there been flower beds at the time under the windows. One day, when he had been called to the castle, the butler had shown him the marks of the soldier's slugs in the wood of the door, and had given him a piece of shortbread that the community ate. It was nice and warm to see the lights in the castle. It was like something in a book. Perhaps Leicester Abbey was like that. And there were nice sentences in Dr. Cornwell's spelling book. They were like poetry, but they were only sentences to learn the spelling from. Wolsey died in Leicester Abbey, where the abbots buried him. Canker is a disease of plants, cancer one of animals. It would be nice to lie on the hearth rug before the fire, leaning his head upon his hands, and think on those sentences. He shivered as if he had cold, slimy water next to his skin. That was mean of Wells to shoulder him into the square ditch because he would not swap his little snuff box for Wells's seasoned hacking chestnut, the conqueror of 40. How cold and slimy the water had been. A fellow had once seen a big rat jump into the scum. Mother was sitting at the fire with Dante, waiting for Bridget to bring in the tea. She had her feet on the fender, and her jewelry slippers were so hot, and they had such a lovely warm smell. Dante knew a lot of things. She had taught him where the Mozambique Channel was, and what was the longest river in America, and what was the name of the highest mountain in the moon. Father Arnall knew more than Dante, because he was a priest. But both his father and Uncle Charles said that Dante was a clever woman and a well-read woman. And when Dante made that noise after dinner and then put up her hand to her mouth, that was heartburn. A voice cried far out on the playground, "All in!" Then the other voices cried from the lower and third lines, "All in! All in!" The players closed around, flushed and muddy, and he went among them, glad to go in. Rody Kickham held the ball by its greasy lace. A fellow asked him to give it one last, but he walked on without even answering the fellow. Simon Moonham told him not to because the prefect was looking. The fellow turned to Simon Moonan and said, "We all know why you speak. You are McGlade's suck." Suck was a queer word. The fellow called Simon Moonan that name because Simon Moonan used to tie the prefect's false sleeves behind his back, and the prefect used to let on to be angry. But the sound was ugly. Once he had washed his hands in the lavatory of the Wicklow Hotel, and his father pulled the stopper up by the chain after, and the dirty water went down through the hole in the basin. And when it had all gone down slowly, the hole in the basin had made a sound like that, suck, only louder. To remember that and the white look of the lavatory made him feel cold and then hot. There were two cocks that you turned and water came out, cold and hot. He felt cold and then a little hot, and he could see the names printed on the cocks. That was a very queer thing. And the air in the corridor chilled him too. It was queer and wettish. But soon the gas would be lit, and in burning it made a light noise like a little song. Always the same. And when the fellow stopped talking in the playroom, you could hear it. It was the hour for sums. Father Arnall wrote a hard sum on the board and then said, "Now then, who will win? Go ahead, York. Go ahead, Lancaster." Stephen tried his best, but the sum was too hard, and he felt confused. The little silk badge with the white rose on it that was pinned on the breast of his jacket began to flutter. He was no good at sums, but he tried his best so that York might not lose. Father Arnall's face looked very black, but he was not in a wax. He was laughing. Then Jack Lawton cracked his fingers, and Father Arnall looked at his copybook and said, "Right, bravo, Lancaster. The red rose wins. Come on now, York. Forge ahead." Jack Lawton looked over from his side. The little silk badge with the red rose on it looked very rich because he had a blue sailor top on. Stephen felt his own face red too, thinking of all the bets about who would get first place in elements, Jack Lawton or he.